Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are efforting John Adams from the Knoxville News Sentinel, so looking forward to that conversation coming up here in just a few minutes. Talking all things Tennessee Vols with John Adams as well, so looking forward to getting him. You talk about a legend. John Adams on the show, be awesome.
This is the John Adams is the best, man. This is the negative media episode of the show. We got Johnny A.
Yeah.
Vols fans get all mad at Johnny A.
Yeah, they are a little.
We got some PK talk later.
Oh, yeah.
Titans mad at PK. I love it.
Why do you think Vols fans get so mad at John Adams?
You know, I don't know.
I think he's pretty fair in what he does.
Oh, I do too. I know for one person who absolutely does not like him, and who, I mean this goes way back before I was here, but Philip Fulmer.
Really?
Yeah. I mean that's like been a public thing. You got him? Oh, okay. Sorry, Porth is giving me hand signals in the booth. Okay. Oh, okay. He said to check my phone. Oh. Well, that's the thing. I meant to send my thing. Oh, okay. Hey, this is good radio. Bless you. Thank you.
You can't just say that Philip Fulmer didn't like John Adams and then just leave me hanging like that.
Well, okay. So we'll ask John this story. So something happened where like fans were yelling at John Adams, and then Fulmer was like, yeah, I don't know. There's a story there.
Get him.
There's a story there.
All right.
Okay. Well, I'm going to – yeah. Let me see. Did I write the wrong number in there?
That would be awesome.
No.
Well, we'll see if we can get John Adams on the line. We are efforting that as we speak. Talking all things Tennessee Vols.
I will tell you that – so I was texting him yesterday, but that's his work cell, which is messed up. So his work cell's messed up. So now he has this other phone he wanted us to call, which his wife put him on a plan with other members of the family.
It's like a spy movie.
Okay, so there's a lot going on here with Johnny A.
Okay.
But hopefully we'll – but, that's the right number. Let me make sure that's the number that I actually spoke to yesterday when we talked. We had a nice long talk about – yeah. Yeah, that's right. So I don't know. I'll text him on his other number now. And just see what's going on.
See if we can get that figured out.
This is just good radio.
Lots of things to get to with him, including the quarterback competition. Joe Milton, Harrison Bailey, Hendon Hooker, Brian Maurer. I saw your mailbag that you put out yesterday at theathletic.com.
4,000 words of love.
It's a lot of words. There was a lot of chatter yesterday about the Tennessee quarterback position as well. So a very popular topic of conversation right now. And I believe we now have John Adams on the line. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Tennessee columnist for the Knoxville News Sentinel, John Adams. John, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Doing okay, guys.
Well, appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. John, we got a lot to get into you with here today on the show. Let's start with the quarterback competition that we were just talking about. Joe Milton, Harrison Bailey, Hendon Hooker, Brian Maurer in competition right now. What do you think of the quarterback competition? Who would you consider to be the favorite at this point for the quarterback job for Tennessee?
That's really hard to say on a favorite. But you got four guys. When they had media day last week, you had and Joe was here for that. It was really odd. I've never been to a media day or even a practice where players are made available where four quarterbacks were available for interviews. They were all seated in high chairs outside the football complex. And you could talk to all four of them. So I think it was their way of saying, yeah, this is really an open competition. I sometimes coaches say that, but I think the Tennessee coaches really mean it in this case. I think Joe Milton, the transfer from Michigan, has been getting a lot of prep. The coaches have been very complimentary of him. However, Harrison Bailey started three games last year toward the end of the season. I thought he played very well for a freshman on a bad team. He just seemed to be comfortable there and play with a lot of poise, and he was accurate. And I know Joe Milton has a big arm, but right now I wrote a column recently, and I thought Harrison Bailey would start the opener. Maybe totally wrong on that. It's just my guess. But I think because of his poise, his accuracy, and the fact that in high school he played in an offense that was similar to this. Jeremy Pruitt's offense. Well, I don't know what Jeremy Pruitt was doing offensively. So we'll get into that. But I think because of the accuracy and the poise, I kind of like Bailey's chances to start.
That's interesting. Very interesting. I thought it was also very interesting, John. Last week they have all four of those guys. I think we're all sort of discounting Brian Maurer, but he was out there too doing interviews. I think Hendon Hooker is interesting too. I mean, I don't know. I thought he showed some good things in the spring, but that's going to be fascinating to watch. And look, just that access that we got struck me, John, because it's very different from the last guy. That's one thing that I like that I've seen from Heupel. Obviously, what matters is what we see on Saturdays in the fall. But what do you think so far? What do you think of – well, really, what do you think of the hire? And then what do you think so far of how Heupel has handled this job?
Well, I like his approach to access. And that to me shows he's not a micromanager. He lets his assistant coaches talk. His coordinators are very articulate. Alec Gullis and Tim Banks, the defensive coordinator, Gullis, the offensive coordinator. So that shows to me that he has confidence in his coaches. And it also tells me he doesn't worry so much about what's said, what's published, what people are talking about. That's not a big deal with him. The lack of access has squeezed the life out of some of these programs, and much of that, I think, emanates from Nick Saban in Alabama. He doesn't let his coaches talk. He wants one voice. I see the rationale behind that. I don't necessarily agree with it, but that's not why Nick Saban has won all these national championships. However, because he has one of those national championships, Nick Saban, whatever he says and whatever policy he enacts, everybody's going to say, well, that's how you do it. It doesn't matter what he would say. It's just that's – and it's a copycat business, so you see other schools in the SEC. Kirby Smart, a disciple of Nick Saban, he's done this. But getting back to Heupel, he just tells me he has a different mindset. It also tells me that he's in tune to what's going on with college athletics. I mean, we're reaching a point now with the NIL where athletes can make money off their college athletes can make money off their name, image, and likeness. How can you tell a freshman that he can't talk to the media? I mean, he's got to be concerned about his business, about his brand. You can't just shut that off anymore. So I think Heupel, what he's doing is in keeping with the way the game is evolving right now. So I think that's a good thing. As far as the hire goes, I wasn't blown away by it. I think there were a lot of coaches that didn't want this job. Josh Heupel, great offensive background, quarterback coach, did a good job with Drew Locke at Missouri. He's been successful with his offense as a head coach and as an offensive coordinator. Scores a lot of points. Up tempo offense. However, I look at his record as a head coach, and the fact is at UCF, he has a worse record each year after he became head coach for 3 years. I don't think you can ignore that. It doesn't mean he won't succeed here at Tennessee, but I think it's somewhat of a red flag. His best year was when he took over after Scott Frost went unbeaten, and I think he only lost one game the next year. And you can look into all kinds of details about what happened with those teams, what the schedule was like. Bottom line, the record got worse each year.
John Adams from the Knoxville News Sentinel on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, John, with all that in mind, given where this program is now after Jeremy Pruitt is out, Heupel is now in, what would you consider to be a success for this team in Josh Heupel's first season with the Vols?
6-6 record, go to a bowl game, be more competitive against the best teams, and be very productive offensively. I mean, this is what Josh Heupel is all about. And if you want to inject more hope into this fan base, you're successful offensively. That's his strength. So even though he doesn't have great talent offensively, I think he has enough to show what his offense can do. If he goes out and his offense flops, that's going to be a really bad sign. Like with Jeremy Pruitt, when he goes out, he's supposed to be a defensive guru. He was a defensive guru at schools where he had tremendous talent, national championship talent at Florida State, likewise at Alabama. But he didn't have that at Tennessee, and it showed. He never impressed me as a great defensive strategist. His first game, he gave up 40 points to West Virginia. Never really slowed them down in the second half. Didn't make any adjustments, it didn't seem like. So I just think that would be – that's a litmus test, I think, for him initially. Nobody expects this to be a great season. But at least if you lose scoring a lot of points, it would be much better and create much more optimism with the fans if Tennessee loses 45-38, because that indicates the offense is working with Josh Heupel. And then if he gets better players, the offense will be even more productive.
John, how long have you been in this job?
Well, I've been in Knoxville since 1987, but I've been covering the SEC a lot longer than that.
So you've seen a lot of things. I just want you to rank these three coaches, Pruitt, Dooley, Butch. Rank them in order, best to worst.
Wow. Gosh. That's like taking the three slowest runs on a football team and predicting which one would win a race. I'm thinking about that. I think Gary Dooley was the smartest, wasn't the best coach. Who was the dumbest? That's a toss-up. I'd have to say Jeremy Pruitt. I can't believe I'm saying that because I thought Butch Jones was one of the dumbest coaches I'd ever run across. But Jeremy Pruitt actually surpassed that. I think when you look at what they did, I mean, again, you just have to judge them by their record. And for all his faults, Butch Jones is the best. And I would actually rank Derek Dooley ahead of Jeremy Pruitt because Derek Dooley didn't have leave the program in the crosshairs of the NCAA investigators. So if I had to, from that group, Pruitt would clearly be the worst. I mean, he's the worst thing that ever happened to Tennessee football.
John Adams, the legendary John Adams, our guest here on Robbie and Rex. John, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Sure thing. Take care, guys.
Absolutely. All you right, as John. Well. John Adams from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Legendary stuff there. That was a great question by you.
We'll get into Well, next time we have mine, we'll get into the Fulmer stuff.
And we'll get a little bit more into what John Adams had to say there as well, including some comments made yesterday about Jeremy Pruitt. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. Thanks to John Adams from the Knoxville News Sentinel for joining us in the last segment. Some spicy stuff towards the end of that interview there, Joe.
If you're a Tennessee fan who over the years has gotten mad at John Adams, have you ever looked back at things he's written about, Butch, Dooley, Pruitt, and said, gosh, you know,
turns out he's right.
John actually had a point here. There's a lot of, holding the pom-poms here, John, in his career at doing his job very well.
There's not been a whole lot of reason to hold the pom-poms the last decade plus at that place. I don't know. How would you rank those coaches? Butch, Derek Dooley, Jeremy Pruitt.
I would actually – I would rank Pruitt second. I definitely Butch first. I mean, look, say what you want about Butch. I mean, Butch had some success prior to that, and yes, you know, Porth knows as a Cincinnati Bearcats fan that Butch took over a pretty strong program that had had two very good coaches before him, but – he won there, and he did some. I mean, he built Tennessee up into a team that should have won the East in 2016. They didn't, in part because he screwed it up. But he's better than those two guys. I would rank Pruitt second, though, because I feel like Dooley was just a disaster as a coach, and I think Pruitt still is good at evaluating players. Make all the McDonald's bag jokes you want. He recruited. And, I mean, I don't disagree in general that, like, you know, he didn't come off as the defensive strategist he was billed to be. You know, they had some good days and some bad days on that front. I mean, I remember a blowout of Kentucky where I was like, man, see, that's a guy who knows how to coach D. And it helps when a team can't complete the forward pass. But
it does.
But I would still give him a tiny edge over Dooley at number two. How would you rank him?
It's close, man. There's a lot of ineptitude in that group. I mean, I think Butch is clearly number one, even though, like, I don't think Butch Jones is a very good head football coach. I think he's clearly number one out of that group, out of lack of options.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Dooley and Pruitt are close. I don't know, man. I would probably agree with you. I'd probably go Pruitt two, Dooley three, but it's close.
Like, Dooley was a straight wrong trajectory the whole way, pretty much.
Well,
I mean, he had the one team with some really good offensive ability.
He was. I mean, it was rough. With
but the goal. Overall, like the recruiting was like, what is going on here with this guy?
Right.
I mean, Pruitt had gave some signs of life.
Well, and at one point there was, I mean, Tennessee fans felt pretty good about Jeremy Pruitt.
Yeah.
I mean, heck, Philip Fulmer gave him an extension.
A year ago, Tennessee fans felt very good about Jeremy Pruitt.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Yeah. Didn't go so well.
I remember John Adams. So it would have been SEC Media Days 2019. He did these. He did like the poll of the media. You know, will Jeremy Pruitt win more games than Butch Jones won at Tennessee? And I said yes, like an idiot. I don't remember how that turned out, but that was because he was just like, "How do you guys think that's going to happen?"
Right.
And for all the bad things about Butch, like, look at – I mean, he was here a certain amount of time. He actually won a lot. You know, he had a couple 9-win seasons.
Yeah.
And
you drank the Kool-Aid, man.
I signed up for J. Pru.
That's right.
So, I mean, look, he was doing some things to build a program to something. He was – I mean, you get Henry To'o and Eric Gray.
Sure.
And some of these guys that he landed on the recruiting trail, that's how you get it done. And then there's a lot of things that's not how you get it done. That happened.
Absolutely. Apparently a much better vibe around the Tennessee program right now as well. This is coming from Ben McKee, who's the co-host of the Swain event with Jason Swain, former Tennessee Vols wide receiver in Knoxville. Offensive lineman Dane Davis said they love Josh Heupel, used to dread going to practice because it wasn't fun, and the last staff was antagonizing. Compared practice under the last staff to going into work on a Monday. Quote, there's no more Mondays around here, end quote. What did you think of that, that Davis threw out there of the comparisons from the last staff to this staff? It's pretty strong stuff.
That's a pretty strong quote. Now, I would I would welcome everyone to go back to preseason 2018 and read some of the quotes about this – staff, blah, 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 and the last staff, blah, blah,
they're not
blah,
concerned
blah, blah.
About bricks around here anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
A real football coach. We're playing power football. You know,
that's right.
That's fine. I mean, you're always going to have some comparing the new coach favorably to the last coach. That is a pretty strong quote, though.
Yeah.
And it's not, again, last week, thinking the piece I wrote, you know, actually I'll find it. I think it was Harrison Bailey. He was a little more subtle about it. But there was a lot of that kind of thing. Like, the vibe around the program now is, you know, welcoming was one of the words.
Which is funny coming from him because there was this big to-do when Jeremy Pruitt was fired about Harrison Bailey and his father and not wanting Pruitt to leave. And that maybe Harrison Bailey would leave if Pruitt was gone. So the narrative can change quickly.
Yes, exactly. And again, I don't think Bailey, I don't think he tried to criticize him, but this is what Bailey said in the thing I wrote last week. Quote, they take a more calm, then he kind of paused. They try to reach players by having normal conversations with them, if that makes sense. Like, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
So, yeah, I mean, it's not like he was trying to throw Pruitt on the bus like Davis just did yesterday, right. But there's a lot of that. And again, there's something to it. It's worth talking about. I mean, I think we've all seen it. If you just see how Heupel goes about his business, he's a more, whatever word you want to use, dude,
right,
than Pruitt.
But let's be honest, if you fast forward 3 years from now and Tennessee football is in the same situation and Heupel's out the door and the new coach is coming in.
You better have an intense, fiery ball coach.
Yeah, there will be it'll be something different that's perceived as better.
It'll be that. It'll be, too laid back. Wasn't intense enough, didn't get the most out of, whatever the last coach was, if the coach failed, there's got to be something about the next coach that's a total departure, like a 180, and that is why things are going to be better.
That's right.
So, take it for what it is. I'm totally in agreement.
It's like quarterback, too. Marcus Mariota, he wasn't fiery enough, remember that? And yeah. Tannehill came in and he screamed at somebody one time. Now all of a sudden, that's the difference.
Yeah. Now there was a lot of, I mean, look, to be fair, there was a lot of, while he was a quarterback, criticism of Mario that way. Like Eric Decker's done playing. He says something. DeMarco Murray says something. And I think that's totally fair. Mariota wasn't and isn't probably vocal enough for that position. If you play like he did in 2016, you'll overcome that.
Nobody cares.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of the NFL, in honor of Hard Knocks coming up, which luckily for all of us, the Dallas Cowboys have found their way onto Hard Knocks this year, which everyone's just very excited about. It got me thinking yesterday, what team in sports do you absolutely hate? Maybe even hate for no logical reason. Hit up our text line. Let us know, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. This Friday, it's your chance to participate in the Nashville SC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. If you guess correctly which player scores the goal in the game this Sunday, you win a prize pack and a four-pack of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. Participate this Friday morning at 9:45. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, Ryan Porth are with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And Joe, the Hard Knocks participant this year is the Dallas Cowboys, which is dubbed as America's team. Now, I get it. There are a lot of Cowboys fans out there, but also a lot of people that really don't like the Cowboys. A lot of people that hate the Dallas Cowboys. Some people even hate the Cowboys and don't really have a logical reason for doing so. They just despise the Dallas Cowboys. And that got me thinking last night, what are some teams and sports that you just absolutely hate? Maybe you can't even explain why you hate that team the way that you do. Let us know on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We've already got a lot of responses on the text line. We'll get those coming up here in just a few minutes. Joe Rexrode, are there any teams that come to mind when you think about teams that, for whatever reason, whether as you were growing up or even now, you just don't like all that much?
Well, first of all, I think there's universal answers to this. The Cowboys are one of them.
Correct.
I think Notre Dame football is one of them. I think the New York Yankees is one of them. And
Alabama football is probably becoming one of them.
Yeah. I mean, so some of the common thread there is success, but some of it is also attention, like you are having that success, even if you aren't having that success. I mean, Notre Dame football, they've had their ups and downs, but I mean, they had a long stretch after Lou Holtz where they really weren't relevant, and yet I'm seeing them on Sports Illustrated every other week.
The Dallas Cowboys?
The Dallas Cowboys now, and that'll never change. And then, of course, that's media reacting to audience size. But then there's, I think the Yankees, certainly, that's an example of people are just sick of them, all the success that they've had.
Yeah.
I think the Boston, now so for personally for me, it's more personal with like my teams growing up. So I probably will always hate the Boston Celtics uniform because I hated the Boston Celtics probably more than any team.
Yeah.
The Larry Bird, Mikhail Paris, just, you know, just will always hit that team. But so it probably is always going to be there for me, that uniform. I mean, the Yankees are one of those teams for me, you know, for sure.
Yeah.
Notre Dame. So, a lot of it is who your teams went against. But it's funny though, because like I don't hate the Chicago Bulls necessarily now, even though I hated them when they had Jordan, you know?
Yeah.
But for
now, you just kind of feel sorry for the Chicago Bulls.
Maybe that's it. But it's not like the Celtics are all that good. So I don't know. I mean, I think it's your personal experience, and then there's those universal teams. It seems to me, as a kid, I mean, I hated the Cowboys, and I liked the Steelers. And it seems like a lot of people, like, you were one or the other. You either liked the Cowboys or you liked the Steelers. Those were the two teams, like, they used to play in Super Bowls,
sure,
going way back. And
my best friend, Terry Bradshaw. Yeah.
That's right. But to me, like, the Steelers were, like, the good guys, and the Cowboys were the bad guys. Why? I really don't know.
It's just the way it works sometimes. Michelle, do you have any teams that you just absolutely hate for whatever reason?
Absolutely, Ravi.
Uh-oh.
Well, this is recent. I absolutely hate the Los Angeles Lakers ever since LeBron.
Pretty high on that list.
Has moved there. I liked him when Kobe was there, you know, great, love Kobe. But I think it comes from not liking LeBron. And I feel like in the NBA, there's literally no team loyalty. You kind of, if you don't like specific players, then you're not going to like the franchise. So I used to like the Lakers, but now since LeBron's there and he's just picking whoever he wants to be on his team, I don't like them at all. And then Yankees, I'm a Red Sox fan, so I've always just despised the Yankees.
The Red Sox fan from New York.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Behind enemy lines.
And Duke. I hate Duke because I went to Kentucky, Duke, so I can't like list. Duke.
Good call. That's a total oversight on the universal hatred list, Duke. And Kentucky. I mean, right? I mean, really?
Hate us because they ain't us.
Vin gets there you go. Again, anybody but North Carolina. So he hates North Carolina.
Yeah.
So Vin gets on the opposite side of the spectrum.
Duke is a Duke. Duke is. Vingan is a Duke booster.
So. Yes.
Yes. We understand. No, I mean, Duke is so easy to hate. And I think, honestly, easier to hate. I mean, Calipari, you know. But Krzyzewski, to me, was a very easy to dislike coach. And just obviously like Leitner and some of those Redick. He's had some just it's an incredible – you just put a team together, Grayson, Redick, Leitner, some of the just – how do you like those guys?
I've had an irrational hatred for the San Antonio Spurs dating back to like 2006.
Really?
I may be the only person on the earth, but for some reason, even though Tim Duncan is like the nicest guy on the earth, watching Tim Duncan play basketball has always bothered me. Okay. I don't know why.
That's weird.
I can't stand Greg Popovich. I've never been able to stand Greg Popovich. Seeing Greg Popovich on television makes my skin crawl.
Wow.
So I have like an irrational hatred of the San Antonio Spurs, and then that was kicked up when my Miami Heat played them in the finals 2 years in a row.
Right.
So he got kicked up to another level then. But even before then, I've always looked at the Spurs and been like, hey, Greg Popovich, it's Spurs. No, can't do it.
Huh, interesting. Well, the Lakers are, you know, obviously you're talking age difference here. That's another one where, kind of like Steelers, Cowboys, you kind of had to pick one or the other, Lakers or Celtics.
Yeah.
Those are the top two teams. I loved Magic and the Lakers back then, Showtime Lakers. I don't know how anybody.
Michigan State right there. Of course you did.
Yeah, but I mean, even beyond that, I just, like, their team was likable to me, and the Celtics were just, how anyone could root for those Celtics teams. I understand, like, I'm a Bill Laimbeer fan, so I get that.
What are you talking
about? Yeah, well, that's just bias for your team. But, I mean, let's be honest. Bill Laimbeer and Rick Mahorn beat the crap out of people, and they were dirty and all that stuff. Go watch the Celtics play back then.
Yeah.
I mean, they took plenty of shots at people.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Chris texting in, I'm still mad at the Ravens dancing on our logo last year. I know there's a long history there with them and the Titans. So the Ravens, Crybaby Rodgers, and Crybaby LeBron. So I guess Aaron Rodgers thrown in there as well.
Did he spell it with a D?
No. But it's
what other Rodgers would be, Rodgers would at this point, right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the Ravens. Yeah, that's got to be. It's interesting if the Titans fans had a hatred poll. I would think that the Colts and Ravens would be top two, right?
Yeah. And maybe the, I don't know, the Jags, Steelers.
Yeah, I guess. But, I mean, the Jags, that's the thing. That's a fan thing. Yeah. But team thing, what team do you hate? Yeah, Ravens, great choice. Oh, yeah.
Let's go back to the text line. Got a texter that says, I can't stand the Packers. Most of that is because of Rodgers' attitude. I feel like people are coming directly after me today.
Wow, yeah. Yes. Yes, they are. Yeah, I thought you were going to say that's because of Robbie. But
here's a great one. Craig texting in. The Vegas Golden Knights. Just hand them success on a silver platter. Don't make them work and build like the Predators did. I think that would be a popular answer in the NHL. There's a lot of hatred out there for the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah.
Because of the quick success that they've had.
Imagine if they would have... Imagine if they would actually want it. Oh, look at Eric on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Oh, and Detroit Pistons, the way Bill Laimbeer, quote, played, unquote, basketball, because I was a Jordan fan. Come on, Eric.
People taking shots at us today.
Let me just say this about Bill Laimbeer. Was he dirty? Yes. He also was a multi-year all-star who led the league in rebounding and was a great shooter. And that's what people hated, is like, he actually is good, too. Gotta hate that guy.
Brian in Portland texting in, I'm a Miami Heat fan. I have no reason to, but I've always hated the L.A. Clippers. I don't know why. No one in my family hates the Clippers, but I sure do. Also a Marlins fan. I hate the Blue Jays for some reason. Also hate the Minnesota Vikings, and I'm a Titans fan. So Brian throwing out a lot of examples there.
Random. Just
irrational hatred for other teams that make no sense.
That is very random.
That's what I'm here for. That's good stuff. I enjoy that.
Yeah, so Eric also goes to Cowboys, Yankees, Notre Dame. I mean, those are – but Duke, yeah. Duke, we need to hate Duke more, especially with Vingan's listening right now. I mean, my
they deserve
gosh.
More hatred on the list. Let's go back to the text line. Academic fraud, UNC. Mm. Marty texting you.
Sounds like a
Not
Duke.
Not a really big fan of North Carolina.
Sounds like a Duke fan.
And then I knew we'd get this at some point, the New England Patriots. Belichick and Kraft.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, anybody...
They've approached Dallas Cowboys territory.
Yeah, I mean, that totally makes sense. You know, the college basketball, Duke, Kentucky, I think Kansas also, you know, would be in there. You know, anybody who's had a lot of success.
What'd
you say? Hate us because they ain't us?
Yeah.
Yes.
I also hate Louisville, but I have to because I went to Kentucky.
Right. Well,
sure, right. You got the rivalry thing. But, yeah, I mean, Alabama, I mean, is Clemson, right? Right. We haven't mentioned Ohio State. I'm surprised by that. Ohio State's
got to be up there.
Right?
I hate Ohio State. And Tennessee hardly ever plays Ohio State, as we know. But
yeah.
I can't stand Ohio State.
Was the last time they played that game that Tennessee won in the bowl game?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Daddy George on the other side?
I think so.
Yeah.
William from Madison texting in, Vanderbilt baseball is quickly becoming the Duke basketball of college baseball by other fan bases. What do you think of that? Is Vanderbilt, is Tim Corbin building an evil empire in college baseball?
Well, in the college baseball world, there's a whole bunch of, everybody's on scholarship, you know, because they have need-based aid, which a lot of schools do.
Yes.
Yes, especially the Mississippi State fan base. For whatever reason, that's just like their, you know, between their cowbell binges, you know, they're talking about the scholarship. So, you know, that's...
They'll be a little bit less vocal now that they've won the national title.
I mean, that's talk about satisfying. Not just to win a first national title in a school's history, but to do it against Vanderbilt?
Yeah. We'll continue this discussion when we come back. Got a lot more of your texts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Which team do you absolutely hate? Maybe not even for a logical reason. We'll get to that coming up next. Also, a new gigantic contract in the NBA as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The game, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025.
Which fan base, which team do you hate the most? Maybe even illogically so. Taking your thoughts on the text line. Got a texter that says, Twitter fan bases can make you hate anyone. Tennessee football, Tennessee baseball, Mississippi State baseball, Louisville, anything. Chicago Blackhawks, Adam and Franklin saying Twitter playing a heavy role in his hatred for other teams. I'd say that's probably accurate nowadays.
But some fans on Twitter are more hateful and hater-ish than others.
That is true.
Of all Twitter, I still say, is elite.
It's a special place.
It's in top tier in good and bad categories when it comes to Twitter fan bases. But, yeah, it's true. I mean, you can find – look, that's another thing with, like, you know, someone will go to a game and it's like, oh, fill in the blank, fans are the worst, yeah. You know. Like, well, you may have sat next to, like, the drunk a-holes who don't necessarily represent the entire fan base.
Yeah, like the Packers when Britton was there.
That's right. Like, I don't think all Packers fans are jerks who would scream at a
8-year-old.
8-year-old who was wearing a Lions jersey. You know, but some are.
It's a tough look.
But hey, those guys had to sit there that day and watch Marcus Mariota absolutely carve their team up.
They did.
So they had to displace their anger and yell at my young child.
Instant justice.
And look, to be fair, why the heck would a kid wear a Lions jersey to a Titans Packers game? I don't know.
Because he's 8.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, if he was 12, then it's a little bit more, maybe make a different choice. But that's another thing you see, by the way. Like, I don't know that I've been to a game where I didn't see at least one person with just a random other team's jersey on.
Yeah.
It's just so.
Every now and then I'll be walking around Bridgestone Arena for, like, a Predators and Sharks game, and, like, somebody's waltzing around in a Flyers jersey. And you're just like, okay, what are you doing?
Right. I like hockey. Here's my favorite team.
Cool. Greg on the text line. I can't believe this has not been mentioned yet. I absolutely hate the Pittsburgh Penguins and crybaby Sidney Crosby.
Yeah.
There's a lot of crybabies being thrown out on the text line.
That's
a good
one. I mean, we haven't talked about the Ducks either, but that's kind of faded out, right? That was intense for a while. Here's one, unnamed. Hated the Detroit Pistons, blah, blah, blah. Maybe Bill Laimbeer, Mahorn, blah, blah, blah. Playing against my Bulls. Hey. Be happy that Jordan got the one playoff win against the Pistons after losing 3 straight times. He finished 1-3 against them, but still, you should be happy with that one win. Same person says, hate Ohio State, mainly due to all the crappy fans that never went to the university. There's a very popular
sentiment
in college athletics. Like, you know, oh, you didn't go there. Now, any successful college football team or college basketball team has, like, a huge segment of the fan base that didn't actually matriculate the university.
That is correct.
But that still becomes a very popular. I mean, in Michigan, like, the Michigan State fans like to think of themselves as more like alum based, and then there's, like, you know, there's a website for the Walmart Wolverine. You know, that's a very popular Michigan State fan saying the Walmart Wolverine, or the Wolverines.
Yes.
You know, I've never even been to Ann Arbor, but they got all their Go Blue gear. Any team that has a large fan base has people who didn't go to the school.
Sure.
But that's a big one.
Oh, yeah.
You hear that one a lot.
A lot. At Gators_Z on Twitch, any team Kevin Durant is on, he hates. Also, another user, Colorado19, Indy. So I guess the Colts.
There's some Gators love on here, too. I mean, you got to mention the Gators.
That's true.
If you're around here, you got to hate the Gators,
friend
right?
Friend of the show, Steve Spurrier. Very polarizing figure.
Yeah, missed that 25-yard field goal.
Got a texture that says, I can't stand the Packers. Mostly that is because of Rodgers' attitude. I hate the Packers so much as a Vikings fan, naturally. But I hate them so much I couldn't even watch the Vikings when Favre was a Viking. So, could not even enjoy Brett Favre on the Vikings because of his time with the Packers. That's some
I like
hatred.
That. That's good. That's some good fandom right there. It shouldn't happen. Like, Brett Favre should never go play for the Vikings, you know?
Yeah. Vincent and Dixon texting in, born and raised a Dodger fan, thus I hated the Big Red Machine in the 70s, though I did love the Joe Morgan elbow twitch. So hated the Big Red Machine.
All right, we got somebody.
Ryan Porth getting upset.
We got somebody older than me. I love it.
In the control room.
Porth is all mad. Do you even know what that is? Big Red Machine, Porth? You just flipped me off. Sparky Anderson, baby. Johnny Bench, baseball bunch.
That's right. Sean in Nashville texting in, LeBron is one of the greatest, but he's also one of the biggest wastes of physical ability. He could have put up so many more numbers if it wasn't for the crybaby diva attitude. A lot of people hating LeBron
what?
On the text line.
That's such a terrible take. What are you talking about? I mean, you can dislike LeBron. That's fine. I mean, that. What are you talking about?
I guess saying that physically – he could do more. Like, I will say, I have always thought And some of this is just because of the way he plays the game. I think he's a little too unselfish. I've always thought if he wanted to in his prime, he could put up 35, 36 a game.
Well, I agree with that, but I think he wins championships and he plays the right way.
I'm not saying he doesn't. I'm just saying physically, he gets a rap sometimes for not being one of the great scorers, quote unquote. I think he absolutely could be.
Well, I had more issue with how Kobe played at stretches of his career.
Yeah.
Which was not making the right pass and involving everyone. So now, if you want to talk about someone who I think could have been the greatest of all time or higher on the list and did not fully maximize talent, that's Shaq to me. And that's why Kobe and Shaq had an issue.
Right.
Kobe was a tireless worker and Shaq 7-2. Like, you know, no one's ever had that combination of what he had. And he was great, but
could have been even better.
I mean, did you have to make Kazam?
Could have saved us all some trouble.
I haven't seen it, but did you have to make that movie?
I got a texter on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The Giants in my Tusculum Pee Wee Baseball League 40 years ago. The most hated team I've ever come across. Ooh.
Well, speaking of which, the Greater Manassas Football League, and we have a listener who was, I think, a teammate of mine.
A participant of the league, yes.
The Cardinals, man. God, they beat us twice. Dang, those Cardinals. Yeah. We almost had them in the title game.
Jordan texting in, I hate the Steelers, the Patriots, and Fairweather Titans fans. I think Jordan is a Colts fan, by the way. So that makes sense for the teams that he would hate.
I got you. Yeah.
But Fairweather Titans fans.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing, too. Just like every big college program has plenty of fans that didn't go to school, every successful team has the bandwagoners.
I got a text that says, I hate any team that Lane Kiffin coaches. Wow.
I can see that.
I can see that, too.
I mean, he's enjoyable.
I have grown to like Lane Kiffin.
Hey, I like that Lane Kiffin went out yesterday and, like, torched people who don't get vaccinated. So good job, Lane.
Rob from Clarksville texting in. Put any Pennsylvania team, Yankees, Bama, LeBron, the Penguins, and any team that Aaron Rodgers is on in the trash. I did not realize that Aaron Rodgers was such a polarizing figure. Apparently he is.
Yeah. I mean, arrogant.
He's arrogant.
But, like, to me, I mean, Brett Favre was way more unlikable than Aaron Rodgers is. That's just how I look at it.
Yeah. I could see where people maybe don't like Aaron Rodgers all that much.
Yeah, arrogant, and also, again, it's usually people who are really good and have a lot of success at your expense.
Real quickly, Luka Doncic, a $207 million Supermax contract signed with the Mavs. So there was this chatter like a few months ago that Luka was upset with the Mavs and wasn't interested in signing with them long term.
You got the organizational stuff going on. Yeah.
And then he signs a 5-year, $207 million contract. And it got me thinking, you could start an NBA player, a franchise today with one player. I'm not talking about LeBron from 2009. I'm talking about right now, today. Which player are you starting a franchise with in the NBA? There's a lot of intriguing choices out there.
I think you
could still go KD.
Well, I think I am. I mean, and you're not going to have success for a long enough time, but I feel good about the next 5 years. He's the best player. So I'll take 5 years of KD right now.
Is Luka in that discussion?
Yeah. I mean, he's great. Big fan.
Curry?
And just for whatever reason – and the thing is, they're about the same age, right? I love Steph
Luka and
Curry.
Durant. No,
what's that?
Luka and Durant?
No. Curry.
Curry
and Durant.
Yes.
I wouldn't go with Steph. As great as he is, and he might be the most fun to watch. Steph and Luka might actually be the two most fun players to watch, actually. Yeah. But I feel better about Durant right now for the next few years. I'm not sure how much. I don't know. We'll see. I hope I'm wrong about Steph, but he may be a little closer to fading. I mean, what about Giannis?
He's on the list. I still wish he could shoot a little more.
Yeah, but boy.
What he did in the finals was pretty unstoppable.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Michelle?
See, I was thinking, you know, superstars right now, right? You've got, obviously, KD, Giannis, all of that. But I was kind of going, like, the Trae Young route.
Trae Young?
And that's kind of what the Hawks have done in the last couple of years. Especially, obviously, with their performance this past year in the finals.
Yeah.
I mean, he's
played. He's lights out in playoffs.
He's very good. It'll be interesting to see if he can.
Apparently wasn't good enough to make the Olympic team, which is amazing to me. But, yeah.
Which a lot of people would be talking about now had they not come back to win the gold.
Right.
But JaVale McGee was there.
Yeah. I got a text that says you start a franchise with Damian Lillard. A couple votes for Damian Lillard.
Hey. I mean, I love Dame.
Yeah. Dame time.
Dame time.
I'd like to see him somewhere else. I just don't know if
not a big fan of the Portland Trailblazers.
Man, I don't know if they're going to be able to build it around him. I would also throw a name out. John Morant is
it's pretty fun.
Yeah, that's going to be he's a guy who you could win a championship with if you put the right things around him.
When we come back, we will have a special Titans edition of Buy or Sell. I've got some preseason questions to throw out to Michelle, to Joe as well. We'll debate on whether or not we would buy or sell these items that I have for the Titans. All that coming up next. Encourage your participation as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.